Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for Armchair and the Saints Happy Hour podcast comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ARMCHAIR. All right, everybody. Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. It's Thursday, and it's time to preview Saints Vikings. Andrew, you got to talk me off a ledge. I admit I am in full panic, petrified mode. I wrote my Channel 4 column today, three-step process to getting over your Saints fears, but it wasn't for Saints fans. It was mostly just therapy for myself. I look at the Vikings, and I think this is going to be the Saints' hardest playoff game of the three, and if they win Sunday, they're going to the Super Bowl, but this game petrifies me with Minnesota because I think they have everything you need to beat the Saints.
Oh, man. What a way to start.
It is.
Jesus. You really feel that way?
I mean, I do because I look at them. They have multiple good wide receivers. The Saints secondary is struggling. They have a very good pass rush. And those are the things you need to beat the Saints team. You have to pressure Breeze without blitzing. And you have to be able to take advantage of the Saints' beat up and struggling secondary at times. And they have it. And I don't feel like Green Bay has it. And I feel like San Francisco, the reason they stomped on the Saints and scored 48 was game plan. And I think Dennis Allen and Sean Payton might be able to fix some of that going forward. I just look at Minnesota and they petrify me. I hope I'm wrong. And I hope the Saints just curb stomp Minnesota, but I'm very nervous.
Yeah, well, you should be. Well, it's a playoff game, and I just think every team that has made the playoffs this year in the NFC is very strong. I mean, with the possible exception of the Eagles, and you know, I really feel like the Rams not making the playoffs was kind of too bad for them. I mean, I think they're a better team than the Eagles, and I think had the Rams made the playoffs, I think top to bottom, 1 through 6, you'd probably say like, hey, any of these six teams are capable of going to the Super Bowl. You know, and I really believe that. I think maybe besides the Eagles, I would say the other five teams, you know, I think it'd be really hard for the Vikings to win three road games in a row, and I don't think they'll do it. But I just think if you look at the rosters, if you look at how they've won this year, there's a lot of talent. They're good football teams. So I think the Saints could lose to any of those five teams that are in the NFC. Now, thankfully, this game is at home. Yes, they present challenges to the Saints. The Vikings have some weapons. They have an explosive offense. And, you know, if the Saints play like they did when they hosted the Falcons this year, it's going to be a similar result. Because I think offensively, the Vikings have a lot of the elements that the Falcons do, which is, you know, an explosive run game. Tons of playmakers on the perimeter, a quarterback that is efficient and can push the ball. And then an offensive line that's a little shaky. And, you know, I think those are all kind of, I think Atlanta's offense is very similar to Minnesota's in a lot of those ways. So, it could be problematic for the Saints, but I don't think you're, I guess the thing you're missing here, Ralph, is that you're not accounting for all the things that the Saints do.
Yeah, that's
that true. Present problems to everyone else.
And you know, it's interesting.
Whether that's Michael Thomas, which no one can stop, and certainly the Vikings aren't going to be good at doing that. And yes, they have a pass rush, but and look, how this game unfolds, to me, the biggest thing about this game is that the Saints offensive line looks to be rounding into health and form at the perfect time. They've got Andres Pete back. Nick Easton's playing well, so they can still use Nick Easton if they're not feeling good about Pete. But, you know, everyone's off the injury report. Armstead is further back from his ankle issue. Ramczyk is coming off one of his best games of the season in Carolina, so he looks better. And so I just think from left to right, the Saints offensive line coming into this game is healthy, relatively speaking, and they've got everyone back. They've got kind of their core guys. So if that offensive line is playing as well as I think they can, then that's a big deal. And I think that's a trump card that would win the Saints this game. Now, if they have in-game injuries to Armstead or Ramczyk or Warford, you know, if we start to see those guys drop in this game, then that changes. But I think the Saints offensive line and how they perform and how healthy they are from start to finish in this game is a huge component, I think, of how the Saints will fare.
You know, and look, during the year, I don't really consume, like when the Saints are playing whoever, I don't go to those teams' blog and consume their content. I just, for whatever reason, I don't do it. When it's the playoffs, I guess it's everything's heightened, right? So you want as much information as you can get. So I'm reading the Vikings blog, and I like the other team's perspective because I think it gives me and you stuff to talk about. But the interesting thing with Vikings fans is they look at their team and they think that they are they're healthy to a certain extent. But they look at the Saints and they're like, last year we held Drew Brees to 120 yards. And this year we have Delvin Cook back and no Rankins and no Davenport. We're going to be able to run on the Saints, which I just think the national media, like they haven't paid attention. Like Rankins, Davenport, we can argue about like what the Saints will do. But like Rankins, like he was awesome last year, but he was a non-factor this year. I think for the national media to play up that injury or other fan base, it shows me like you not only do you not watch the Saints, which I get, I've only watched a couple Minnesota games, but it's also like you haven't done like 5 minutes of research in it.
But the thing is, Rankins is not part of why they're so good against the run anyway. I mean, maybe he could shoot the gap and make a play in the backfield last year. But certainly not this year. And this year he was a sub pass rusher. And you know, if you were to ask me why they're so good against the run, I think a big part of it is DeMario Davis and AJ Klein. I just think their linebackers are so good in the trenches of.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Absorbing blocks, shedding them off, and getting to these open spaces where the backs are, and then making a sound tackle. So I think linebacker play is a huge reason why the Saints are so good against the run. You know, certainly the front and the defensive line absorbing contact too, but I mean, that's Malcolm Brown, that's Onyemata, that's not Rankins, you know? So again, like if you want to talk about the athleticism off the edge and the difference between having Davenport in there stopping the run versus Hendrickson, then I would give that to you. And I do think that's a difference, but you know, again, I just think, I mean, Granderson's shown a little bit here, and I would have guessed that Granderson was really just a pass rusher, but Granderson has shown similar athleticism against the run that we've seen from Davenport.
Do you think your UDFA son, he's going to play a really significant amount Sunday?
I do. Yeah, I do. I do. I think, you know, remember, they signed Noah Spence, and the whole idea there was Davenport's out, so they need to find someone that can help them. And he hasn't really seen the field because they keep getting plus snaps from Granderson. And so I think at this point, there's no reason to change when you've got a young player that's playing at a high level. I think you got to be careful about putting him out there too long. You know, I think you want to manage his snaps. But I just think when he's gone out there, he's given great energy. He's shown good athleticism and he's making plays here or there. So I think the combination that they've had between Hendrickson and him is a decent one.
You know, and Dave joked on the Big Show Monday that it's just, he said, or maybe it was you, I forget. It was just incredible that this player that the Saints signed and gave, you know, they gave him like $80,000 for an undrafted guy. That's a lot. They gave it to him. He went to jail, and through all of it, they kept him. And we joked about how incredible that is, but you can argue whether they should or should not have, but once they committed to him, they knew what they had and they stuck with it. And you got to give them credit for it.
I mean, it's really paying off right now when you have a guy like Davenport go down because, again, the alternative is you're throwing Noah Spence into the wolves. You're throwing him at the wolves, either that or you know, you're playing a UDFA at defensive end. So, you know, and then Mario Edwards, you know, that's a guy we haven't talked about either, but he's a guy that has basically played every position on the defensive line all year, and he's been good against the run, and he's a thick player that's flashed a little bit. He had a sack against Carolina, so he's a guy that I think can give you some snaps there too. And so we've talked about this. It's not one guy. When a guy like Davenport that's so useful to your defense goes out, it's not you can't just replace him with one guy. You've got to use Hendrickson because of his tenacity and his motor and his ability to play four quarters, where I think he kind of ascends as the game wears on because of his hustle. You've got an athletic guy in Granderson who gives you maybe some of the athletic elements that Davenport has. And then Mario Edwards gives you maybe a little bit more weight in the pads. And, you know, if it's an obvious rundown, you put him at defensive end. So you mitigate a loss like that by playing different guys to their strengths. And I think each of those guys maybe gives you a little bit something different that the Saints are going to use. They're going to use all three.
Well, and here's the thing. And look, I'm not comparing Davenport to J.J. Watt because that's just two different worlds, right? But the point I'm going to make is J.J. Watt went out for the Texans. Their pass rush completely fucking fell apart. And that's why they're so excited to get him back Saturday, because they're like, our pass rush will magically reappear. And the Saints, the pass rush with Davenport, it dipped a little, but it didn't drop like two or three levels where you're like, oh my God, where is it? So I think that's positive. But
the thing we have to remember with Davenport is, with Davenport, it's all about what we think he can become, what we think he'll be.
Yeah.
He's not there yet.
Yeah.
So I think right now he's a 6-7 sack guy a season. Like that's just what he is and we've seen the potential. We've seen him flash. Mm-hmm. So we know he can be a double digit sack guy easily based on how good he is from a ceiling and perspective standpoint. But like, he's not doing that on the field just yet. I mean, he's doing it in bits and pieces, but I just think overblowing the loss, he hasn't gotten there yet. So I just think there's a difference between expecting him to grow into something versus saying he's there now. And where he's at right now, the loss is just, to me, it's too bad because you love his flash plays, but there's plenty of other plays where he has bad technique or he's not doing something right. So I guess my point there is there may be times where Mario Edwards, for example, plays a run play better than Davenport had or would have.
So here's the thing I wanted to talk to you about, because this was the other thing on the Minnesota blog that I found interesting is Minnesota, they run the Gary Kubiak play action scheme of, you know, if you're familiar with the Texans in Denver, they run the play action, the sort of stretch handoff plays and one cut and go sort of, but it's heavy play action and everything sort of comes off the play action. And Minnesota
fans, that's what San Francisco did against the Saints.
But Minnesota doesn't run the motion and the sort of confusing stuff that San Francisco did. But what did the Saints do wrong in the San Francisco game against play action that they're going to have to fix against Minnesota?
Well, I think San Francisco is just always one step ahead of the Saints. And the reason I say that is out of the gate, I think the Saints game plan was very clear. We're going to stop the run. And if you remember, Stephon Anthony started in that game and he played poorly, but the Saints came out three linebacker set. And so they had, you know, Anthony in there, they had Craig Robertson, and they had DeMario Davis. And so you could tell the focus was the 49ers are a running team, stop the run at all cost. And, you know, we'll deal with stopping, or we're going to force Garoppolo to beat us. That was kind of out of the gate opening drive. That was the position they took. And the 49ers play action them to death. They were getting 15, 20-yard chunk passing plays because Eli Apple couldn't cover Samuel in single coverage, man coverage. And so they were basically getting huge chunk plays, and Garoppolo lit them on fire, right? And so then the Saints adjusted pretty quickly and they said, okay, this is obviously not working. We're going to pull Anthony and we're going to give him more of a coverage look. We're going to put C.J. Gardner-Johnson in there and go nickel. And then the 49ers started running those stretch plays where, you know, basically there's a tackle to be made. Yeah, if they lose containment, basically it's Von Bell or Marcus Williams or C.J. Gardner-Johnson, they have one shot at making a tackle. Otherwise, it's an 8-yard run, you know, and they were missing those tackles. And so, you know, basically that was the thing. They were doing misdirection stretch runs. Based on a lighter front from the Saints. And so I just think it's one of those things where they were always, I just think they were one step ahead of the Saints. And so that's what I would be worried about out of the gate, because I think the Saints are going to be paying attention to Dalvin Cook. They're going to want to stop him. And yet they just can't allow themselves to get gashed with these big chunk passing plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me, that's why I look at Minnesota and I fear them. But on the flip side, and this has been true of Kirk Cousins his entire career, he is a system game plan quarterback. By that I mean, if Dennis Allen has a great game plan, you can make Kirk Cousins look really bad. Where I feel like if Minnesota comes out and they have just a superb defensive game plan, it may take the Saints a quarter or whatever, but Drew Brees and Sean Payton will figure that shit out. And they did it last year in the playoff game, right? It was 17-0, and it would look like for the world the Saints were dead. They come out in the second half, touchdown, intercept, you know, and they got back into it. So I just think Drew Brees can always adjust and sort of color outside the lines. Kirk Cousins can't. So if the Saints can manufacture a plan, how do you think – you mentioned all the stuff that Minnesota can do. What do you think the Saints are going to do? Like, if you had to guess what they're going to try to do to start, what do you think it'll be?
Well, I think on obvious passing downs, you got to blitz. I mean, I know that stresses your corners and man coverage, and maybe you rotate safety help to – try to at least take away Stephon Diggs. But I just think the Saints have to hit him. They absolutely have to hit Kirk Cousins. And he will make a mistake if you turn him. If he's play-actioning you to death and he's got time to throw and he's got wide receivers and man coverage streaking down the field, then he's going to make plays. But if you can confuse him, if you can hit him and affect him, then eventually he's going to make a mistake. So, you know, and you got to be careful because he's a guy, I mean, he's highly rated.
He's really good throwing the deep ball. He really
is. And we tend to think about Kirk Cousins in that one game he played on Monday night against the Packers and think, oh, he sucks, he's no good. But if you look at his stats and you look how he played all year, he's a really good quarterback. I mean, he is. And now how he plays in a big moment remains to be seen in the playoffs. But Kirk Cousins is a highly capable player. You know, I hate to go back to Greg Williams and Bountygate, but I feel like if you're in the Saints defensive locker room, if you're in the game plan room, if I'm Dennis Allen, I'm saying the first thing you want to do is affect Dalvin Cook's shoulder. You know, he's coming into this game banged up. He's had to leave two games now, and he's been rested a couple times for this shoulder injury. And it's good enough to go now, and he's full at practice. But I know he's got a shoulder issue, and if he gets hit hard enough, like, he's going to feel it. And I know he's going to have some blockers to try to help with the issue, but I just think right out of the gate, you've got to blow him up. You know, carry of the game, hit him right in the shoulder, gang tackle him, make sure you're throwing him hard to the ground. And I know that sounds a little bounty gatey, but that's football.
Whatever, you know, man. San Francisco, they knocked Pierre Thomas in 2011. That poor man was out before he hit the fucking ground.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, in my opinion, that was a dirty hit. You know,
yeah,
I know that with the ball carrier, you can lower your helmet and everything, but now they're trying to take that out of the game. But to me, that's different. To me, with Dalvin Cook, it's just like you want to make sure he's good to go. You know, if you know he's got a shoulder ailment, you want to send that message that, like, hey, we're going to be giving you a beating all game. And I want to see if you're prepared for that.
It's tough, you know? Man. To me, a shoulder for a running back is probably the worst thing you can have. Because at least with a knee or whatever, there's a chance that as you have a sore knee or whatever, you can get it loose. And there's a chance that you could get 15, 20 carries and no one really hits the knee hard. You know, or if you have a hand or whatever.
Yeah.
But a shoulder, I guarantee you, in his first five carries, he's fallen on that shoulder twice, minimum, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just difficult. The other thing with Minnesota,
the Vikings are going to score, though.
They're going to score.
So
I mean,
we're going to have to count on the Saints' offense to be playing the way it has been, and that's the thing. I think if you were to ask, like, what's the biggest reason for optimism here, I would say it's that the offense is just firing on all cylinders right now. They're really playing at a really high level. Breeze is playing as well as we've seen him play in years right now. And if he comes into this game and he's, you know, first drive touchdown, second drive field goal, third drive touchdown, like if they're operating at that level, then I think it could be a shootout, and then hopefully you hope that the Saints can get a turnover and be on the better side of that. But you know, I think the recipe for winning all year for the Saints is don't turn the ball over on offense, stop the run. And I think that's remains the recipe for how you go 13-3 in a season and how you win a playoff game.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. but you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
You know, and the thing about Minnesota is, interestingly, they haven't had a stretch this year, even that this is from their own blog, it said this, so, or maybe it was Barnwell, but that they've had stretches where their offense has been really good and their defense has been really good, but never at the same time. Like, it's always been one or the other, right? So they've never really put it, and that's the thing, you look at them and you're like, why are you only 10-6? Like, you're top 10 in scoring, you're top 10 in scoring points allowed. Like, why are you just 10-6? And I know they sat people against Chicago, which would have made them 11-5, but they just feel like they should be better. But the one interesting thing about Minnesota, Andrew.
But I mean, the thing is, Ralph, like, the Saints are 13-3. And if Will Lutz misses a 58-yard field goal in week one or however long that was, like, that's 12-4. And,
yeah.
You know, and if
that's true,
you know, one other game, a Cowboys game where they never scored a touchdown, I mean, they easily could have lost the Cowboys game. Then they're 11-5. So, like, you know, again, we're talking about a 13-3 team that could have been 11-5 based on, like, literally two things happening. Which were complete 50-50s anyway.
Yeah.
And so I just think, you know, Vikings are a good team. Maybe they just had a little bit less luck.
I said in my WWL column is slander, and just to fire people up, I said, look, Minnesota, they've beaten one team with a winning record. It's the Eagles, 9-7. That it's the NFC East. That shouldn't even count. And a lot of times when they play, they couldn't beat Kansas City without Mahomes. They got worked by Green Bay pretty much twice. But on the flip side of that, and I didn't think about this, Minnesota, their blog was like, the Saints haven't played anybody good since September. Now, you can discount the Titans, but, I mean, I looked at the Saints' schedule, I was kind of like,
you mean beat, right?
What's that?
I mean, they played the 49ers.
They played the 49ers, but they hadn't beat anybody good September. And I looked at the Saints' schedule. I was kind of like, yeah, that's kind of true. I mean, but you can only play who you can play. But my sense of the Saints is, and you mentioned it, is their offense is so good. I mean, people forget, I think, because the Saints' offense is so consistently excellent. Like, that San Francisco defense, when they came into the Superdome, they were on a historic pace as a pass defense, and the Saints fucking burned them to the ground. And I just look at Minnesota. I didn't realize this. They've benched Xavier Rhodes. Like, he's only playing about half the snaps now. Apparently he yelled at Mike Zimmer. They had a shouting match about a month ago, and he's not a starter anymore. And he's been awful. But I did not realize that. I knew he had been terrible, but I didn't realize that they had reduced his role. So they are really struggling to sort of put guys in place to cover people.
Yeah, I mean, I think their secondary, that's what the Saints are going to attack, and that's where the Saints kind of get multiple. And, you know, they put Michael Thomas in the slot, and they move Taysom Hill around. And, I mean, it's hard to account for, man. I feel like Jared Cook has kind of been his emergence has been the difference for this offense. And that alone has been what's responsible for this team becoming so good. And so now all of a sudden you've got to worry about Jared Cook, and that allows you to move Taysom Hill around and get him in favorable coverage matchups. And Michael Thomas is doing his thing. And, you know, Kamara's been a little quiet in the passing game, but I just feel like when you look up and down at this, Jared Cook has been kind of the guy that's unlocked everything the second half of the season for the offense.
Well, and look, Kendricks for Minnesota is their all-pro linebacker. He's in the DeMario Davis sort of class this year of linebackers, of being able to do everything. He's been hurt, and they say he's going to go, but he ain't played since the Green Bay game. He hadn't practiced all this week, and to me, you know, we'll see the practice report today, later today and on Friday, but if he's not practicing today and limited tomorrow, like, he may try to go, but good luck. I don't care if you're a great linebacker. If you're compromised, good luck against Jared Cook or Kamara. Like, I think either one of them could have a monster game Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, no, they could. I think it's just, you know, there's a lot of guys this time of year that are banged up. I mean, it's not just him, and it's not just, I mean, there's a lot of guys on the Saints. And I think the big question is, if you play these guys that are injured, how good are they and what state are they? And then if they leave the game because they're injured, how good are their backups? You know, that's the big thing this time of year.
Well, that's one of my final big questions for you is, in your grades, which people should, thanks to everybody who paid $10 a month for the season, you got access to Andrew's grades, every player, every play. He graded them. Janoris Jenkins, guy the Saints claimed, we're really excited to get him. You gave him a B+ against Carolina. I know it was Carolina. I know they're a disaster. I know they quit. But he was really good. Do you think the Saints would say, hey, we're playing you over Eli Apple in this playoff game, even if Eli Apple is healthy and can go?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Eli Apple is going to play because he missed practice yesterday. And we'll see if he, you know, we'll see if he is on the injury report and how this goes moving forward. But yeah, that one's tough. You know, obviously Jack Rabbit played well on the outside, but I think the vision for him is maybe to play him more in a slot role. So I don't know what's going to happen there with the Saints. And they're just going to have to base it on both health and what's best for the team. I mean, this is a tough matchup. I think my gut tells me they're going to use Lattimore to take Diggs away. You know, that's been the main guile season for the Vikings. And so if they do that, then you're really looking at Thielen. And I don't love Jenkins as a matchup against Thielen because of the size difference. And so that's where, you know, I don't know that I love Eli Apple against him either, but if Eli Apple's healthy, at least he's got the size to match up. PJ Williams has size too. Would you put him against Thielen? I know that makes a lot of Saints fans nervous, but if Marcus Williams is back, then you've got him at free safety. So, you know, there's no doubt, though, I think, depending on how healthy Thielen is, I mean, he's missed a lot of the season, too. That's a matchup that's going to cause the Saints some problems. And if I'm looking at Kirk Cousins and the Vikings and how they attack this matchup, that's definitely the X factor when they have the ball. Obviously, they want to run the ball with Dalvin Cook and have some success there. But who is Lattimore not covering? And that's who they're going to throw the ball to. I mean, whether they have success with it or not remains to be seen, but I think that's the game plan for the Vikings, and they're going to exhaust it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. How do you, you know, final thing, and then we'll get out of here. I'm curious to see the atmosphere in the dome. I wasn't able to attend because it's a Sunday game, and I have work obligations early Monday morning, so it just didn't work out. But I'm really curious to see the atmosphere in the dome, because of all the heartache and playoff stress that the Saints have had. How do you think it will be? And if the Vikings jump on the Saints early, do you think the crowd will stay in it?
I do, yeah. I mean, I just think New Orleans, we've been through this. The fans, that's the least amount of my concerns. Saints fans are battle-tested. They know how to host a playoff game. They know how they need to act when the stakes are the biggest. And I just think there's zero doubt in my mind that the environment is going to be epic, because that's how we roll as Saints fans. And there's no way that Saints fans are going to allow how the game started or how the Vikings are playing or just, you know, hangover or whatever. or disappointment of not getting a bye. They're not going to allow any of that stuff to affect how they bring it at this game. There's a reason that we're the best fans in the league, and there's a reason why our home games, why it's so hard to play in the Superdome, and why our fan base is noted along with Seattle and maybe a couple others for being really, really tough place to play. And I mean, if you're not going to bring it for a home playoff game, then I would question, is there ever a good time? You know? there's just like, of all the things I'm worried about in this game, there's plenty. I think the most nerve wracking thing for me is just the finality of the playoffs. You know, it's one and done. And so that's a thing that's just like, I have that uneasy feeling in my stomach right now. But if there's one thing I can trust, it's that the fans are going to be there and do their thing.
All right. Final question. All right. If I told you that you can look at the box score today, you can't look at score, obviously, and you can't look at turnovers, because turnovers is really the thing that'll tell you who wins or loses, right? But if I said, Andrew, you can look at one stat from the box score, not turnovers and not the score, which stat would you most want to look at to try to figure out who's going to win and how to bet the game?
Yeah, you know, I would almost say Kirk Cousins' quarterback rating. But, you know, if they go down 17-0 early and then he pads his stats, like, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily a great way to view it. I guess it would boil down for me to man, that's tough. I think I would say Breeze's quarterback rating. If I could pick any stat, I would probably pick Breeze quarterback rating number one, and maybe penalties too. The penalty discrepancy between the two teams, because you know that's the thing I'm nervous about, the refs and just how they treated the Saints.
No, that's like, that the, you know, the Breeze like quarterback rating was a good one. I didn't think of that.
The Saints have 12 penalties and the Vikings have 4. I'd be like, oh, that's not good. You know, but if it's about even or if the Saints are penalized less, that would be, you know, there's a lot of hidden yards there, so that would be a factor. But I think if Breeze has a quarterback rating, let's say higher than 110, then that tells me he's making no mistakes, the Saints aren't turning the ball over, he's playing at a high level, and then I'll take my chances against anybody.
Yeah, my stat, the Breeze quarterback rating is a great one. My thing that I was thinking of was, tell me the Vikings rush attempts and rush yards.
Yeah.
Like
that's
a good
one.
If you told me that the Vikings are going to run 15 times for 40 yards, I'll be like,
I think
the Saints win, because that means it's all on Kirk Cousins and I don't see him doing it. But if I look at that box score and I see 30 for a buck 20, then I'll be like, oh shit. That means, you know, and it's not even necessarily because, you know, San Francisco didn't have a 100-yard rusher, right? But they ran the ball very effectively. So that thing, the Saints haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher. Yeah, it's a nice stat, but it doesn't tell you the whole story about a rush defense always. So that would be my stat. So look, guys, it's Thursday. It's a huge playoff game. You know, we're all nervous, but I think Andrew has talked me off the ledge today
a little bit. You know, another stat I'll be looking at real quick. Not necessarily sacks, because that doesn't really tell you how much pressure they're getting. I would say quarterback hits on Kirk Cousins. If it's more than 5, then I feel really good.
Yeah, the weird thing about Kirk Cousins is when teams hit him, he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, because he doesn't have a lot of interceptions this year. But when he gets hit, like all quarterbacks,
his completion percentage goes way down.
Yeah, his completion percentage goes way down. And we'll just see. I mean, you know, Andrew, you laugh at me constantly, and I haven't done it this year. Is I always say, like, I don't think this game is going to be close one way or the other. But this game, I think if it's close, Minnesota's going to win. But if the Saints win, it's going to be a blowout, and Minnesota's going to be like, maybe we have to reevaluate everything. Like, we have to should we keep Kirk Cousins? Should we keep Zimmer? Like, this is a disaster. We're never getting any further.
And I think that's a ridiculous statement, though, Ralph. You're saying if it's a coin flip game, then it's certain the Vikings are going to win. The definition of a coin flip game is it could go either way.
Yeah, but I just feel like if it's close, the mojo with the Saints may not be there. That's my feeling. Look, you make these predictions. You don't know how it's going to go, but that's how my gut goes. I think Kirk Cousins, I'll put it better. I think Kirk Cousins is either going to be fucking amazing or he's going to be a disaster. I don't think there's going to be any middle ground for him. Is that more fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's going to be a close game. I mean, I said 34-31 Saints. So
okay.
I think it's going to be uncomfortable, and I just hope it ends the way we want it to.
All right, everybody, this has been Saints Happy Hour. This one's free, but you should subscribe, become a patron. $7 a month, you get Saints every day. You're going to need it for the playoffs and the offseason. All right, everybody, we will see you tomorrow.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.